Good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you, Don, for those songs. I'd like to welcome everybody tonight, especially our visitors. We're very honored for people to take time out of their schedule to come and worship our great God with us.
Amen.
We thank you for that. It's our honor to have you. We're going to look tonight and kind of conclude our study of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. We're going to be looking at the book of 3rd John today. This was written by the Apostle John. And this one is a little bit more of a personal letter. You know, the Apostle Paul would write epistles, you know, to the church at Corinth, to the church at Ephesus. But then he would write personal letters to Timothy or Titus. This one is addressed to a man named Gaius. And it starts off in verse 1. He says, "The elder," describing himself, "the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth." What credentials this gives this man Gaius, that the Apostle Paul, the man, the disciple that Jesus loved, is saying this about this brother, Gaius. He says, "whom I love in truth." That truth of the gospel is such a binding agent. We've talked many times before about what a variety of backgrounds just us here have. Different ages, genders, growing up in different regions of this country, maybe even different countries, and how the blood of Christ, the gospel, can bind us in this truth. And this truth is what the Apostle John loves Gaius in. Want to look, there's a few passages in the Bible about Gaius. You know, when I first read this, I was like, who is this Gaius guy? You know, so did a little digging, and he's mentioned a few different times. In Acts 19, where what's taking place here is that where Paul has preached and the riot at Ephesus is taking place, where the artisans in Ephesus are all up in arms because it is being preached that these idols that they're selling and making money from, they're just idols. You know, you're wrong in doing that. And everybody was up in arms. And it says, "so the whole city was filled with confusion and rushed into the theater with one accord, having seized Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians, Paul's travel companions." That tells us a little bit about Gaius. He not only rubbed elbows with the Apostle John, but with the Apostle Paul. Mm-hmm. He traveled with Paul and contributed to his work, and yet was beloved by John. A little bit later in Acts 20, verse 4, it says, "And so Peter of Berea accompanied him to Asia, also Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and Tychicus, Trophimus of Asia." So these were traveling companions and fellow ministers and workers of Paul. In Romans 16, Paul is writing to the church in Rome, and he says, "Gaius, my host, and the host of the whole church." greets you. Erastus, the treasurer of the city, greets you, and Quartus, a brother. Gaius must have been a man of some means to open his home to the church. It appears in this setting, in this passage, that the church probably met in his home. He probably sponsored it. He probably extended what he could do to the church. And that's one of the ways. And he knew and was friends with Erastus, the treasurer of the city. So he probably had some money, but used it in the furtherance of the gospel. In 1 Corinthians, we see that he was baptized by Paul. I thank God that Paul is writing this. I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius. So this man, he's got a strong pedigree of associations, affiliations. He had studied with and was actually baptized by the Apostle Paul. He is beloved by the Apostle John. And John goes on to say, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." We see in this verse here, there is nothing wrong with praying for earthly things, to expressing our concerns to God. But the spiritual overrides everything. Just as your soul prospers. And, you know, we as people a lot of times are pretty good about asking God for the physical earthly things. Health, safety, things. But there's the spiritual aspect too. You know, do we thank God for the spiritual blessings? Do we ask God for spiritual issues, for growth, to learn how to pray better, for wisdom in the scriptures, etc.? We see this with the Apostle John. Verse 3, "For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth." John was elated to find out the spiritual situation of Gaius. They can't just text each other like we can today on a regular basis. Things were either face-to-face, hearsay, or through letters back and forth. They just couldn't pick up the cell phone and call each other. And John had gotten word from the brethren that Gaius was doing well. And they testified, "The truth is in you." And here in this passage, this truth is equivalent to obedience. That the truth is in you just as you walk in the truth. The truth's not in you if you're not walking in it. You might, and there's a difference in knowing right and doing right. My mom and dad raised me very well of right and wrong. I didn't always do it. But I knew. They had taught me. Right and wrong. Here, John is equating the truth with obedience, following the truth. And he goes right in the next verse, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. In Philippians 4:1, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved." I find it interesting that almost everything the Apostle John says in this book of 3 John, the Apostle Paul says the same thing in other passages. Verse 5, he says, "Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers." There's a number of things in this verse alone. The fact that you do faithfully. You can do good things, but not do it faithfully. Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians 13, what we call the love chapter. That if I, you know, give my charitable gifts to the poor, but I don't have love, it profits me nothing. Doesn't mean that it doesn't profit the person that I gave it to, but it profits me nothing if I don't have love. You can do good things, but not do it for the right reasons. And John is saying here that you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren. That's important, to have love for one another. How many times does the Apostle John drive home that point? I don't even know. I would say a few dozen in his writings about loving each other. And then, not only for the brethren. I started to say that's easy, but it's not always easy to love the brethren. Some brethren are hard to love. But we do. We do. We're a family. Brothers and sisters don't always get along, but you're still brothers and sisters. You got that crazy uncle, you know, or whatever, but you're still family. But doing it for the brethren is one thing. For strangers? That's what really makes Christians stand out, is doing good deeds and having a true love, a true concern for people that you don't even know. Now, I don't know how to say this. Jesus knew us because he was God. But Jesus died for people that the man Jesus had never met. He gave his life for people he had never met. What a wonderful example. And the Apostle John had seen that example. He had seen that. And he's saying, you faithfully do whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers. You do things faithfully. You do it the way you should, with the right heart. Because people tell me about it. I don't see everything you do. Your reputation, people have told me about it. In Colossians 3:17, again, the Apostle Paul wrote, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Whatever we do, whether it's an action, a word, do it for in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do it for him, in his name. Verse 6 says, "Who have borne witness," these brethren have borne witness of your love before the church. Gaius provided to be a source of encouragement, probably in sermons. people talking about Gaius's actions, inspiring others to do so. It goes on to say, if you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. Kind of like we were talking about this morning about missionary work, that these Christians helped provide for other Christian brethren to go on their way in the name of God. And they took nothing from the Gentiles. You provided for them. Philippians 4 says, nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. What a great pat on the back it would be for a thank you from Paul or the Apostle John, that by you helping monetarily, you helped send Christians on their way to do their duty. What a tremendous compliment that would have been. Verse 8, John says, we therefore ought to receive such, that we may become fellow workers for the truth. Living in Las Vegas, we are so blessed, especially our location here, to have so many out-of-town visitors that we do. We're so close to the Strip, so when people come here for conventions or just vacation or whatever, we're so close to the Strip that we get a lot of visitors. And we've gotten people from just about every state in the Union. We've gotten people from out of this country. People watch the live stream from all over the world. And we receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. The sad thing is, not everybody does that. Have you ever been in a congregation? And this congregation is known for this, how we treat visitors. It's just the way we are. And people talk about that when they go home to their congregations. Have you ever been in a congregation, somebody new comes in, and literally people break their necks, cranking, looking at, who's the new people? And it's just kind of, hope they don't sit in my seat. You know? Who's the new people? Yeah. Not, John is saying that we ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. But not everybody does that. John's getting ready to talk about somebody that doesn't here in a minute. He goes, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. A little too big for his britches there. He's probably, don't know a lot about Diotrephes, but yet we do. We've probably all seen people like Diotrephes somewhere in our lives. Probably very aggressive, very vocal, wants his way. Probably kind of aggressive to get his way. Loves to have the preeminence among them. Does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does. The Apostle John, if he ever gets there, he's getting ready to lay the law down. And he's getting ready to, you know, He's the beloved apostle. He wasn't called the sons of him and James, the sons of thunder, for nothing. He's got another side too. I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. You're going to do what I want you to do, or we're kicking you out, or I'm kicking you out. That's what was going on. In Matthew 9:22, we see an account here. Here in Matthew 9, Jesus had healed a man that had been born blind. He had been blind his whole life. And they were wanting, the scribes and Pharisees were wanting to get to the bottom of it. They called the blind man in. How did you get healed? We know that you were blind. They're not saying you weren't blind. We want to know how you were healed. Who did this to you? They called his parents in and are questioning him. And they're saying, we can tell. We don't know how he got healed, but we are his parents and we can test it. He was born blind. But other than that, I don't know. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already, if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. We hold the scribes and the Pharisees. We know how evil and corrupt they were. Is Diotrephes doing anything different than they were? Jesus goes on to say in Matthew 23, talking about these same people, for they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at feast, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplace, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. That's the same actions that Diotrephes was being called guilty of. Matthew 23, verse 13, Jesus says, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. That's what Diotrephes was doing. Don't receive these brethren. And if you do, I'm kicking you out of the church. Don't receive the Apostle John? Are you kidding me? Because he wanted to have the preeminence of men. Goes on to say in verse 11, beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does not, who does evil, has not seen God. I think of where Jesus said in Matthew 7, depart from me, I never knew you. You've done all these things. The things Diotrephes does, he's claiming to be a Christian in. And the Apostle John says, basically, you'll know them by their fruits. He who does good is of God. He who doesn't has not seen God. This is a good message for us about what we should follow, what we should imitate, and each other. Eyes are on us all the time. The world, it would love to see us and knock us off our pedestal as a Christian. Not in an arrogant way that we're on a pedestal, but they would love to knock us off the hill a little bit as a Christian. By the way, by the actions we do, the way we talk or whatever. Lots of eyes are on us. Lots of eyes are on us amongst each other. Well, brother so-and-so does this. It must be okay. Love that little cartoon there. Kids do and learn what they see. Christians do and learn what they see. And Paul's saying, John is saying, don't imitate what is evil. You imitate what is good. Philippians 4:9, Paul says, the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. You know, Paul never did this have this attitude, do as I say and not as I do. Imitate me as I imitate Christ, as he said in 1 Corinthians 11:1. Verse 12, he kind of shifts gears. He's criticizing and putting into place Diotrephes. Now he's talking about a good situation. Demetrius has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself. And we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. Isn't that what we should be striving for, is to have a good testimony from all? Our own brethren, people outside the church, God, that when they talk about us as an individual, that it's a good testimony, that our integrity, our honor, our reputation can stand on its own by what we do. Goes on to say, I had many things to write to you. This was a fairly short letter. I had many things to write to you, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. What an unbelievable, could you imagine being Gaius and getting a letter like this from the Apostle Paul, or the Apostle John? And anticipating, I can't wait till he comes. Can't wait to see him. A relatively short book in the Bible, just little over a dozen verses, but had a lot of meat. The lesson's yours. Might want to kind of went through this a little fast today. You might want to reread it this week. Just take a few moments and reread it again on your own. Do some underlining and cross-referencing and stuff. But if we can be of service to you for the invitation, if you need to put your Lord on in baptism, if you would like to identify with working with us here, if you need to repent of sins, if you need prayers of the brothers and sisters, anything we can do for you, please come forward, let your needs be known while Don leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.